about to put a call on the air, and I don't know what's going to happen. And before I put this call on the air, there's something that you should know. There was a bloodbath this morning at WPLP, and the man I'm about to put on the air was one of the people that shed some blood this morning. David Fowler, welcome to WFLA.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Fine, David.
I was told when I got off the program at 12 noon today that I was fired, and I asked why, and I was told I don't know by the person who fired me.
There are other air people involved in this as well.
Quite a few, as a matter of fact. But I only called you to see if you knew of anything.
Know of any openings?
Anything shaky? Why am I laughing? My God, I've been fired, and I'm laughing.
Well, I was thinking about, I was going to call you tonight, obviously, when I got off the air. And I was going to ask you if you wanted to, since you didn't get a chance to do a last show at PLP, if maybe you wanted to come in and do an hour or two or three with me Monday or so.
If you can pull that off, let's go on the air together.
Okay.
Because I am mad.
I'll tell you what,
you're a gentleman and you got a lot of guts to even put me on the air. I'll see you around town. I'm just a radio guy, Robert.
I'll talk to you tonight, David.
I'm gone.
7 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Friday, March the 4th, 1988. A very good Friday to you. Lasseter with you on the Talk of Tampa Bay, WFLA until 4, as I am every weekday right here. What? God, clearing your throat, the whole thing. You know, haven't you ever been in a radio studio before or something?
It's been so long, I don't remember.
I tell you, are you mad?
Two whole days.
Are you mad?
What do you think? What do you think?
I know you're mad. Are you bitter?
No, I don't have time in my life to be bitter.
This is a very strange business.
I can be mad without being bitter, Bob.
It's a very, very strange business. I was thinking about, just a little under 2.5 years ago over at Humble Hut Number 1, when I first came into this market.
You realize that you haven't told anyone who I am.
It's not necessary.
Oh, you're not going to use the name. Okay, it's your show. What can I do?
I was thinking about sitting.
I hate this. I don't like this at all.
Have you ever been a guest before?
Never been a guest. All the years of talk radio, and I've never been a guest.
David Fowler, obviously my guest.
I don't like it.
You don't like it already?
No,
The show's not been at all. Already you're telling me you don't like it.
I'm nervous. I said. I didn't like. I'll tell you what I didn't like was just a few minutes ago as we came into the studio. Was Dick Norman fawning over me as though I were a god of some kind? It was embarrassing. I don't believe in hero worship, but I guess I should be flattered.
Well, yes, you should be. But nonetheless, back to Humble Hut Number 1.
Mm-hmm.
You had been here just over a year. I had just come into town. I remember sitting there one afternoon saying, this town. No. No talk radio in this town. No, this is impossible. This cannot be done.
Mm-hmm.
And now, finally, at last, 2.5 years later, they truly are the talk of Tampa Bay.
Ought to be.
For about 3 days.
They ought to be. They ought to be talked about. I can't believe what they've done over there, but I'll tell you what I'm not going to do, Bob. I am not going to sit here and be bitter about my former employers, whomever they may be. I don't
Your
even know.
Your former employers left town.
Hell, I don't even know who fired me. That's a fact. I don't know who did.
Sure you do.
No, I don't.
Come on.
Come on what? Come on, what?
You're fired by Skonics. Or Skonics.
I thought I was nervous.
There are so many broadcasters running around here, and you're fired by Susquehanna, period. I don't care what the paper says. The man's a blatant liar.
Well,
he's a cowardly liar.
Yeah.
He either assumes that the people that work for him are stupid, or just doesn't know how to deal with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what he says in the paper today is just obscene. Oh, we had nothing to do with that. That was Gannett. Oh.
Yeah, no argument. There does seem strange that Gannett, after I'd worked for them for 3.5 years, on the day before the station is to be turned over to Susquehanna, that Gannett says, well, this is our last day as owners. Let's fire Fowler. Give me a break, too. Of course not. I know what happened. Exactly what happened.
Can't begin to imagine why the reporters who stood there and bought that crap from him didn't say, are any of those people eligible for rehiring?
Good luck on that one.
I think that tells who really did the firing.
Yeah, I know who did the firing. Of course I know. Of course I know. And I know why I was fired.
Why were you fired?
Well, it's twofold. On the overall, I was fired from WPLP because I am too outspoken, and they don't want that anymore. They have already told their new hosts that you are to be non-controversial. You are to be nice, and you are to be mellow, and it is not your job to entertain. It is your job to inform. That sounds the death knell on any talk station.
But the Queen of Talk Radio sat there at noon yesterday and said that's not true. We're still going to be controversial.
Yeah.
Of course, while he was saying that, there was a staff meeting going on where they were telling the people the exact opposite.
You got it. There was a staff meeting taking place, and they were being told, you will not deal in controversy on this radio station. So on the overall, of course, they had to let me go. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't remember, and it doesn't matter, but I launched into about a 45-minute long diatribe. And I was somewhat cruel to both the then owners and the incoming owners. I probably shot my mouth off to too great a degree, but they heard it, they didn't like it, and they said that's it for him.
There's a degree of sadness in this whole thing, aside from the people. When you work when you work in this industry, you become kind of fond of the station itself. The station actually has a personality and becomes in and of itself a being. And you and I labored together over there for approximately 2 years. You were there a year before me and a half year after me, so you have 3.5 years there.
Yeah.
We saw a hell of a lot happen in that place. There was an awful lot of hope. There was an awful lot of heartbreak, too. But there was hope. There was always hope. We were the kids who had no money, who had no backing, had no promotion, had no nothing except the love of the business and a hope that maybe we could turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to see the whole thing just revert back to what it had been, fluff, boring radio. Yeah.
They, as of Monday, they will once again become what they were during my first year there, and that was a station with ratings so low that there were times when we approached, and I'm serious, being non-rated. It wasn't until they got the savvy to say, turn those boys loose. Fowler, do what you think you do best. The ratings started up.
Well, I recall vividly.
Now they're going to start back down again.
We had a 1.7 overall.
1.7. I'll tell you, that's what really hurts me as regards losing this job. And it is that I really gave it all I had. And I did turn it around. And I brought my time period up to the highest ratings they've ever had in that time period. And it didn't matter. After all I put into it, it didn't mean a damn.
Why do you, be objective. Why doesn't it matter?
I mean, it didn't matter to them.
I know that, but why not? Why, from their point of view? We don't want to be controversial.
Twofold. Well, that's certainly a great part of it. Even with the ratings I managed to create at that radio station, the new ownership did not want to have a man like me in their building 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I'm too hard to handle. That's no news to anybody. All I do is go on the air and make your ratings and make you money.
Why are you too hard to handle? And if you know this, and it's what you do for a living, and it's what puts beans in the pot, why are you too hard to handle? Why don't you mend your ways?
Because on the air, I am the same as I am off the air. I really tell it the way I believe it to be. And if I see flaws in areas of a given radio station where I work, I'm the first one to very loudly point them out. And too many times in management ownership, they interpret criticism from an employee as being negativism, when actually it was just the opposite. See, I can tell them, as I tried to tell them earlier, I can tell them now that I no longer am employed there, very simply, that what they have put together to begin their new broadcast greatness come Monday, I can tell them flat out, it won't work. It will not work.
Well, it's already started today. There was a fascinating interview with an auctioneer this morning at 9 o'clock.
That's what it's going to be. Mostly guests, very non-controversial guests, and just a bunch of nice guys with very little to say on the air. And believe me, I'm not in any way bad-mouthing the guys who are still there and who are going to be working Monday doing talk shows. Not at all. They are simply doing what they've been told to do. I, on the other hand, could not have done that. Had I not been fired Wednesday, I'd have been fired today. It's that simple. I can't do that. I know what works. I know how to build ratings. I know how to get clients. I know how to get people who will pay that station a lot of money to have me endorse their products or their services. I know how to do that, but they don't care. Because off the air, I'm not bowing and I'm not scraping and it's not yes, sir, and I can't play the game.
What are some of the things that you suggested to them over the years that they might do over there? I mean, I know some of them.
Well, one of the major things I subtly suggested to them was, early on, when you had been hired temporarily as a replacement host on vacations, etc., I'll tell you how subtle I was in my suggestion to the then program director and the then general manager that they hire you full-time. I was this subtle. And here's why they don't like me. I said, if you don't hire Lasseter full-time, they said, oh, we can't afford it. He's too controversial. I said, hey, I disagree with almost everything he says. I don't even know if I basically like the man. I can't stand his slams at areas of religion. They make me bristle. I don't like that. I am a religious man. I don't like what he does, but if you don't hire him full-time, I quit. That's how I made one subtle suggestion. They said, you don't mean it. You won't really quit. I said, yes, I will if you don't hire him full-time. He'll give you the biggest numbers you've ever had. So they did. You may not know that, but that's how you got hired. Whether you know that or not,
I don't
care.
That.
Oh, are you?
There were the days of Art Dineen, you, and Harry Cupp.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
James.
That's right. I said, you have to put this man on. He's going to become one of the major talents in radio broadcasting.
Well, the man that I replaced over there, Harry Cupp, who may or may not be a nice man, I don't know. I never really met him.
I have no idea.
But I do know for a fact. We often tease about reading out of the newspaper, but Harry read out of the newspaper so blatantly you could hear him turn the pages. The poor man would go for hours without a call.
See, that's something else you do on your program that I don't like, and I mean it. And if you think there's no silliness to me today, I was fired Wednesday at noon. I don't feel in a very frivolous, humorous mood. I'll tell you flat out, I almost didn't come in here today because I'm not thinking clearly. My mind is numb. I'm scared, man. I've got a major problem. A few bucks in the bank, and that amount is finite. Our lives turned totally around Wednesday at noon. Things we were going to do, we wouldn't even consider now. I'm talking about glamorous things we had planned, such as new tires for the car. That's out the window. That's how this changes your life overnight. But I still don't like to hear you sit on your program and put the bad mouth, put the criticism, put the meanness, put the sarcasm on other people in this business. Why do you even bother with that? Don't do that.
You do it.
Oh, I might have once in a while, but it's a routine with you. It's a routine with you. I used to, on my program, put the bad mouth on Dick Norman when he came up opposite me after they had the good sense to get Ellery off the air. Sure, I did, but that's called competition. That's all that is. But here you're talking about a man that was
fired. I'm talking about bad radio.
Well,
I'm talking about.
I really don't like to.
See, that's why I don't like what's going on over there right now. It's bad radio.
Well, I don't like it either.
It's bad radio. It's going to hurt me.
Because it's going to lessen the overall size of the talk audience. There's no question about it.
I mean, we have people over there now who are going to run a talk station that have no knowledge of it, that have no feel for it.
You got it.
And they're, you know, after 2.5 years of my being in this market, and I'm sure a number of years prior to that, where these two stations tried to build a talk audience and finally got it up to about a 10% share of the market, that's going to decline in all probability in the months ahead.
Oh, yeah, of course it will. There's no question that what they are going to attempt to do won't work. It can't work. It's been tried at that radio station once before, and it failed. That's not what the audience wants.
Do you want to take calls?
Yeah, I will. I don't know what I'm going to say. This is the first time I've ever been the interviewee instead of the interviewer, and it's not very comfortable for me, and it's only been 48 hours since I got the zip, got the axe, kicked out on the street. Oh, God help me. What am I going to do? Where can I get a job, and what does it all mean? But I'll tell you this much. If Obarski, the new general manager at WPLP...
Gordy is what he wants to be called.
If Obarski... This will not happen, but understand I mean this from the heart. If he were to call me today and say, Fowler, we made an awful mistake, what would it take to get you back? And I would at first catch my breath, and then I would give him the only answer available to me, and that is, there is nothing you could give me to get me back. Not now.
You would rather be out of work?
Yes, sir. I'd rather be out of work than have to be over there pretending to do what I'm told to do, knowing that it will fail. I could not work there, no. I could not. Could not. Any other radio people listening, I'll take anything, but I could not work there. No.
There's one line open. It's in Hillsboro. The number 990-9352 990-WFLA. Grand Prix Car Wash, 1880 Gulf to Bay Boulevard. You hear me talking about it. You hear me talking about it for a good reason. It's got to be the finest high-tech car wash in the entire Bay Area. But far, far, far more importantly, Grand Prix Car Wash, the kind of organization, the kind of service organization that you're looking for, people that pay attention to detail, people that want to keep you happy, people that also feel that you deserve what you pay for. And that's not overly common these days. And, I mean, can you imagine a business that wants to give you what you paid for? In this particular case, it's a clean car, completely clean, better than you can do it yourself. They'll wash the ashtray. They'll make sure there aren't any smudges on the windows. They'll make sure the carpets are completely vacuumed. And if you need additional services beyond a full-service wash, you know, things like road tar removal, maybe you need the carpets shampooed, they're all set up for that, too. They'll even clean the engine, the Grand Prix Car Wash, 1880 Gulf to Bay Boulevard in Clearwater. It's real easy to find. It's right across the street from the Clearwater High School. Special going on this week, $2 off the price of a regular full-service car wash. Normally $6.49. You go into the Grand Prix Car Wash, you'll get it for $4.49. You'll get the cleanest car you could ever get your hands on. You'll be happy, I promise. Listeners today, Ed Hartley, Gordy, the Snowman. Hi, guys. How you doing? You ready for the calls?
Sure.
Okay, what the hey. David in St. Petersburg. Hi, David. You're on the air at WFLA.
Good afternoon. David.
Yeah.
This is Clown.
Hi, Clown. How are you?
You remember me.
Sure, I remember you.
I just called to tell you that I have taken Plop off of my speed dialer, and I will not listen to them or speak to them again.
I suspect
it was rotten.
Yeah, you know, so do I, but it had to be done. As I said, Clown, and that is a nickname I gave this person when he used to call me regularly. I've not heard from you for a long time, but as I said, even if they hadn't fired me Wednesday, I'd be gone by today.
I couldn't function
in that atmosphere.
I could understand that, but it was the way they did it.
Pretty mean.
Well, to just come in and, you know, cold and say, you know, you're finished today. If they had told you, like, you know, a week ago, saying, you know, this is your last week.
Oh, no. Wait a minute, Clown.
I wouldn't have wanted it.
Clown, wait. Let's at least be fair and be realistic.
I understand.
You've listened to me, I gather, for quite a while. Do you think any radio station management in its right mind would tell David Fowler, this coming week will be your last, but go ahead and do your program? Do you think they'd allow me on the air knowing that? Come on.
Well, they did it with others.
Well, not with me.
Oh, no, not with you, but, I mean, they did it with others.
Well, the real problem over there was the message constantly passed through various different people from Susquehanna to WPLP, you know, don't worry, everything's fine and hunky-dory, we love all of you, we're not going to make any changes.
Yeah, I mean, telling Don Richards, you know, he would be the last one to be fired. And he, you know, turned
in front of witnesses.
Clown, you brought up something that does grieve me in a way. There's not much love lost between Don Richards and David Fowler, however, because I hark way back to when I was first hired at that station, and I still have some bad memories about it. But anyway, I hurt for him for a number of reasons, the most obvious being he is, as am I, suddenly, with no job and none in sight. He is a family man. He has children. He has a mortgage. And he has no job. I grieve for him for that reason, and there's another part of this I have to say about Don Richards. I've never seen a man work with such dedication to a radio station as Don Richards. Whether I agreed with him or not is beside the point.
Don was in there most mornings by 3:30, 4 o'clock, and stayed until 5 and 6 o'clock the following afternoon.
He gave them his heart and soul, and he did a terrific job. I've never heard a better newscaster on radio. Never. Never.
I mean, the man has a voice.
He has a voice.
I don't know what he looks like, but the voice is...
Well, he is a great radio newscaster, and he dedicated himself to that radio station. And to me, it's almost reprehensible that he was simply cut loose. That really hurts. He should have been given a chance.
You know, a great setup on the radio right now, as it stands, would be David Fowler from 9 till noon. And Bob Lasser from noon to 4.
Well, don't hold your breath on that, Clown.
I know. One can hope. David, I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Bob, thanks so much for having him on.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it, David.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
One line open. It's in Hillsborough County, 990-9352-990-WFLA. My guest in studio, none other than the king of talk radio, David Fowler.
Bob Lasseter.
Thank you, Yvonne. David Fowler, my guest in studio. The board's full. I'll let you know as they open up. John and Anna Maria. Hi, John. You're on the air at WFLA.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, listen, I just want to tell you, I've gone up and down the last couple of days. When I followed Fowler when he first came here, and I took my choice and switched to WFLA. And I just think of him nothing as just, and David, you can hear this, just a self-serving egotist. And finally, Ellery came to FLA, and it was enjoyable to listen to. And something Ellery can give to you as far as a little lesson in life is when he got bumped by Norman, he had the most classy exit of anybody I've ever seen on talk radio.
Yeah.
And when you come over here, I think you're just a little crybaby.
Mm-hmm.
and also to take a shot
do you
at
really
Hillary.
Think we, John,
his
John,
own station.
John, do you really think we care what you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who think that. I'm
well,
not...
think again, John. Mike in La Paz.
Wait, let me add something there. I didn't realize you were hanging up. That's another uncomfortable thing for me here today, Bob, even though I enjoy being with you, and I appreciate your invitation to be on your program for my little swan song of radio. It makes me very uncomfortable that I don't control the buttons. I don't control the mic. I was going to say to him that there is one slight difference in the way Jack Ellery was taken off the air and the way David Fowler was taken off the air. And that slight difference is one hell of a lot of money on Jack Ellery's contract that he's still being paid. I walked out the door with a small check in my hand, and that was all she wrote. So, John, I think there's a little difference there you didn't understand.
Mike in La Paz. Hi, Mike. You're on the air at WFLA.
Hi, Bob. First, I'd like to make a public service announcement that Robin Roberts will be at Al Lang Stadium tonight.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes, the old-timers game.
Oh, my God.
I thought you would like...
Robbie?
Robin Roberts.
Oh, no.
So, maybe you can make it down there.
I wish I could, but I can't. Not tonight.
Well, you know, I was listening to radio years ago, and I heard this man talking about these dogs he had. They were part dachshund and part pig, and I...
Yeah, my show tunes.
Yes, I didn't. I still don't know if that's true.
No.
It's not true.
No.
Okay. You see, you can pull the wool over my eyes every time, David. Every time. And the one memorable time I'll never forget is probably the best radio show I ever heard was you were nervous and the papers were rattling and your producer brought in the letter and said the FCC said we have to go off the air.
Oh, yeah.
And was your version of the War of the Worlds?
Yeah, you're right. I did
that on Saturday morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning show where I took us off the air via a hand-delivered letter from the FCC to me. And I said we are no longer allowed to do open, frank, controversial conversation on the radio. Believe it or not, that has now actually happened, hasn't it?
Yes, that's
to a great degree. And the FCC had nothing to do with it. Yeah, I liked that show. I thought that was a lot of fun. Made a lot of people very angry with me because they fell for it.
So, I was in total shock because I believed this. What?
Yeah, most people did.
And another memorable show is the condensed talk show.
Yeah, where I took a tape of one of my programs and double-speeded it and said, for those of you who are too busy to listen to the entire program this morning, here is the condensed version, and I just played it at double speed, yeah.
So no one can do it like you, David, and they lost me.
I hadn't really sat around and thought about favorite shows, but there is one that comes to mind simply because you had people fighting over the air, you know, husbands and wives as to whether or not this was really going on. It was the day that you had Gene Shalit in the studio.
Yeah, right. But he was contractually obligated by NBC. He was allowed to be in the studio. He could nod and pass notes, but he was not allowed to talk, and I interviewed him for an hour, yeah. I did the same thing with Imelda Marcos. Remember when her husband, Ferdy, passed out from lack of nutrition and was in the corner crumpled up as would be an old pile of clothes, Ferdinand Marcos, unconscious in the corner of the studio as Imelda sat across from me and nodded. Yeah. People believed that. Sure they believed it.
Well, you had one guy on the phone the day that you had Gene Shalit, of course, were feeding him pretzels.
Yeah. Oh, I'd forgotten that.
Who was arguing with his wife off, you know, she was off somewhere else in the room. And I, no, honey, it is true. He really is there. David says he's there. And she's, no, he's not there. I just loved it. It went on for about 5 minutes. It was great.
Yeah, it worked.
Well, David, I know you're hurting, and I am too. I feel like I lost a good friend.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie to you. The earlier caller referred to me as nothing but a little crybaby, but let me tell you, man, this does hurt. I'm down. I'm really down.
Well, I admire that.
Surely someone who has a radio station in the Tampa Bay area wants a madman on the air. Surely someone can reward insanity, can't they? I call it creativity. Others call it insanity.
I call it creativity, too.
Oh, Lord.
Michael, I thank you very much.
Okay, I have faith that you'll land on your feet, David. I'm with you.
I'll do that. It just depends on where my feet are going to come down. I would want it to be in this area, but it may not be in this business. I don't know.
Take care, Mike. John in Clearwater. Hi, John. You're on the air at WFLA with David Fowler.
Thank you very much for the time. I wanted to, first of all, I was a little bit wondering why you wanted to get onto the show today, and I was...
He was asked.
Wait a minute. That's not true. I didn't. Bob asked me. I told Bob just before we went on the air that I went through a tremendous internal struggle earlier this morning. What I wanted to do was call Bob here at the station and say I couldn't make it.
Okay.
But I'd already obligated myself. Keep in mind, I did not ask to be here. He invited me, and I was in a somewhat stunned frame of mind. This happened the afternoon I was fired, and I went ahead and accepted. I thought this morning I'd made a terrible mistake.
Okay. I liked what your opening statement was, David, because does this seem like deja vu to you?
Sure does. It's okay. It's uncanny. It so closely parallels what happened to me in Houston. It's almost just word for word.
Yeah.
Word for word. Apart from being bothered by being fired, but that really bothers me that this is just, it's such a parallel.
Yeah. Well, see, you were really upset about that. It was quite obvious when you came to this market that you were still hurting from what had happened to you in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to say one thing, and I want to tell you that you have given me personally some of the most enjoyable moments in entertainment that I have ever heard.
Thank you.
And the other thing I want to say to you, David, is that you should never apologize for being your own man, your own man. And the other thing that's extremely important is individuals like you and Bob have the facility to make mistakes and go out and have enough nerve to make mistakes and show people what they really are. You're humans, and if anybody doesn't realize that you people show your humanity. And this is what's the matter with this great country of ours, is that we're not able to show our humanity anymore. We all make mistakes. We all do great jobs. But these people want to put us in this little square peg and make us all little square pegs and make us so that we don't make any ruffles and we don't do this and we don't do that. And you can always go to your grave saying, hey, yeah, I might have been stupid, I might have made a couple of mistakes, but on the other hand, you've had real genius on your shows, too. And when you have genius, you also have failures. So these guys, they want some guys like Eastman over there who are boring, who are little polite guys, but they'll never have the type of, many times you've antagonized me, but just remember, Dave, you're what you are, and you ought to be proud of it because you're your own man. Now, I know
I'm my own man, and I'm sure hurting because of it today.
Okay, but...
But I can't change.
Okay, the other thing that you should do, I think, is forget working for people. You can't work for people. Why can't you syndicate your show? Why can't you do what that guy does in the evening on that, what's his name, Williams or whatever he is? Why can't you get into your own show and start selling yourself to these programs instead of working for people, but being your own self-employed individual?
It takes an incredible amount of money.
Yeah.
You have to have a backer with hundreds of thousands of dollars
that he is willing to take a chance on losing it all quickly.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that you wouldn't succeed in your own syndicated show, especially, because you are a rare and a very wonderful talent. And I think it's terrible that you're going to... I think you did the stupidest thing that you possibly could when you talked about those new people over there in that show that you did.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't take a word of it back, and I'd say it all over again.
That was pure stupidity.
John, there's something that you've got to understand. The fact that station was in the process of being transferred was known for almost an entire full year. The pressure, I felt the pressure last summer when I got out of there. One of the main reasons... There were a number of them, but one of the main reasons was the pressure of the impending transfer. And when you live with that day in and day out, and you know in this business that you're going to be lied to, that there's a real strong possibility that you're going to walk in one morning and the new ownership is going to tell you, hey, we're doing polka music now. You're assigned to either leave or clean out the trash cans. Take your choice, fella. The pressure just builds and builds and builds,
okay.
And hell, we're only human.
But this is what society tries to do to us all. Now you're feeling bad, Dave. You shouldn't feel bad. You should feel so happy that you are what you are, and don't let, the old expression, don't let the bastards get you down. But this is so true, because all of a sudden the self-doubt comes in.
You're right.
And all this stuff.
You're right. That is exactly what happens.
It's not true.
You're full of self-doubt.
It is not true, David, because I have my own experience, and I can only relate to that. But I was fired from more jobs, And I thought, my God, what the hell's the matter with me? And I always did a great job, and I was always number one, and I was always this. And then what happened is I started my own business, and I have been the happiest guy in the world, and I'm doing very well. And I don't have any S of a B's. I don't have to be a yes man to anybody. I don't have to worry about what anybody says. And I can have the freedom, and I can experience what America's all about.
Hey, Fowler, sounds to me like you got a potential backer here. And this guy's doing so well, he can probably come up with a box for, you know, to send
sure.
a picture.
No,
sure.
But anyway, I'm trying Trace to...
this call.
I'm just trying to relay that to you.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and believe me, I appreciate it. But I'll say again that had I not been fired this past Wednesday, it would have happened today, because I could not conceivably do on the air what they have ordered everyone to do.
Well,
I can't do that.
I don't want like what Eastman done in his show yesterday. He was saying, oh, we're all happy now, and believe me, all the people over here, this is the way the program that we want in the station, and we're all very happy over here, and there were things that had to be changed over here. He is a real yes man and a brown nose. He sounds like he has that nose so far up the guys, you know what. It's pathetic.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm in no position to judge anybody over there. And I mean that. I really am not. They're working,
okay,
and I'm out of
work. I thought you were going to be a crybaby, David, and I was wondering, that's why I was listening
no,
to
I'm
you.
No, I'm not. Listen, man, I'm not being a crybaby. I came in here at Bob's invitation. I obligated myself to come in here. I didn't want to come in today.
Okay.
I did not want to come in today.
But,
I almost called in and canceled.
But,
well, that's the worst thing you can do in radio.
Okay.
If you say you're going to be somewhere, you be there.
Right.
I am incredibly uncomfortable sitting here.
Okay.
And the
well,
second
listen,
worst thing to do is to miss your break.
Don't have self-doubts about yourself. Remember that you just know what you are. And don't let anybody take that away from you, Dave. Okay?
Thank you, John.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
1242 the time. 1244 the time. Marcia in Tampa. Hi, Marcia. You're on the air, WFLA.
Hi, David.
Hi.
I'm the accordion player. And I was really sorry to hear you say, when you closed your program, you said, I'm gone. I really didn't take it literally.
You mean Wednesday?
Yes.
I knew, and yes, I remember you, the accordion-playing caller. I remember asking you, did you ever get one caught in it? And you said more than once. Yeah, I'll tell you, and I don't understand this, but when I got zipped in Houston from a 9 to noon call-in radio show, it happened in the same way. I got off the program, was fired, and told to leave immediately. I was on the verge of vacation, as I was this time. And again, this time, I did what I did the last time I was fired, and that is, I knew it. Nobody had told me. There was no indication. But by the about midway through the program Wednesday, I knew. By the third hour, it was, in my mind, a fact that when I walked out the door, I'd be instantly fired. So when I said on Wednesday, I'm gone, I cut the mic and said to my producer on the intercom, and I really fear, Michael, that I just told the truth. I'll see you later. I knew I'd been fired.
Well, the only thing
I don't know what that instinct is, but I knew it.
The only thing I'll say is I'm sorry you're not there anymore, although the fondest wish would be that you'd end up on WFLA, because then they'd have the best of both worlds.
Well, that really, it's not worth discussing, particularly on this program.
Well, it's
really, it is
nice.
Not. WFLA has a heck of a staff, and there would be no reason at all to replace anybody here with me. They're doing far too well.
No, but it would certainly be nice to still have you in the area,
Well, I hope I'll stay here, but that may not be up to me.
Well, let's just hope you do. Just wanted to let you know we're thinking of you, and we'll miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss me too, because that program was a great part of my life. Bob and I are the same in this respect, that he and I both live, drink, eat, breathe our call-in programs. I mean, it's our lives, just our lives. So that makes it even a little tougher to take.
Well, again, I just want to let you know that we're thinking of you.
Okay.
And hope that you do stay in the area.
Okay, me too.
Thank you, Marcia. Take care. 1246 the time. One line open. It's in Hillsborough County, 990 WFLA. Mike Hennessy, probably in Lutz. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Fine.
David, how are you?
Hennessy, how are you, my boy?
Hanging in, pal.
Good. That's, hey, you're young yet.
I feel a little bit older.
Do you have work yet, Hennessy?
No, but hopefully some things are...
Right when you do.
Right if you find work,
Michael. I sure will.
Mike Hennessy, former WBLP news reporter, newscaster, whom many times on the air during my program I had only the most lavish and sincere compliments for his performance.
Hennessy, one quick question.
Sure thing.
Did they run part number 5 today?
I don't know.
Let me answer that. Yes, they did.
Oh. 2 days.
They did. They ran the last installment. By the way, a really fine job of reporting. They ran it as though you were still there, yeah.
I kind of thought they might.
Here is our Mike Hennessy, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ran it.
Yeah. You know something, David? I was thinking about it. Our jobs were so different. And there's one thing I noticed that I've really thought about. You talk about making people mad. I realized something a little while ago I thought I'd share with you. The only time that you or I ever made anybody mad is when we told the truth.
Sure.
You can lie about somebody and they won't care. You tell the truth and, man, you get yourself into all sorts of hot water.
Well, I really hate to resort to a cliche, something that has been quoted so many, many times, particularly by our present crop of presidential candidates, but all you're doing is rephrasing Harry Truman when he said... they tell me that I give them hell. He said, I don't give them hell. I just tell the truth, and they think it's hell.
I think that's exactly right. And of course, another thing, who is a philosopher who said only a mediocre man is always at his best? And, when we went through our ups and downs here at PLP, I mean, we both had them. And Bob had them, and, all the other talented people there have had them.
Mike, how long were you there, Mike?
I was there for 5 years.
Okay.
4 years as a reporter, 1 year as a sports editor.
You will have no difficulty, I promise you.
Well, some things that I'm not at liberty to discuss are,
sure, I understand.
Being worked on, and hopefully things will, very quickly turn around. And,
they will.
And I certainly hope that for everybody, for everybody's sake, all the great 8 of us who are down on the streets are going to turn out well on this, because the old saying is true, that the best revenge is living well, and if we all pick up and move on, then we've taken care of whatever debts we might have run up in somebody else's behalf.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you're right. You have a good attitude.
Well, let's hope it all turns out that way. 6 months from now, if I'm still on the street, I might feel differently. But right now, things don't look quite as bad as they did about 48 hours ago.
Looked pretty bleak Wednesday afternoon, didn't it, Michael?
Oh, man, that was grim. That was no fun. I hope I never, ever go through something like that again.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you the likelihood is you will.
I'm all too aware of that. But let's hope it doesn't. Maybe we'll all get lucky on this, and none of us will ever have that happen again.
Go get them.
Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank
Best
you,
luck
Michael.
To you and to Ray.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Good luck to you, too, Mike Hennessy. The Grand Prix Car Wash, 1880 Gulf to Bay Boulevard. At the Grand Prix, we call it a high-tech car wash, and it really is. No brushes, it's soft cloths on your car. And options, you can have almost anything done. As an example, you have your choice of 3 different types of spray wax put on your car. 12:52, the time, Lionel in Tampa. Hello, Lionel.
Hello, who are you?
Lassiter.
Hi. Matt, I've heard of you. Dave?
Yeah, hi.
I want to thank you. I know this sounds corny. I was thinking, as I was waiting to get on, how to prevent what I'm saying from sounding corny. But
Don't
I'm
say
speaking,
it.
I'm speaking from the heart. Thanks for what you've done for us. Thanks for your friendship. Thanks for being there every morning. Thanks for doing your stuff. Thanks for entertaining us. Thanks for doing your job. Nietzsche once said, what does not destroy me makes me stronger. And I think that adversity in life sometimes tempers our steel and our metal, so to speak.
Well, at the rate I'm going, I should be one of the strongest men alive, Lionel.
You are cast iron Fowler here. But let me let other people call you who have talked to you less before. But I just wanted to tell you this. I'm going to let you get away with that one today, Bob. It's okay. I'm
very, very funny bit, by the way.
Pardon me?
Very funny bit.
Well, anyway, Bob is he's jealous. But Dave, seriously, thank you. Thanks for everything that you've done. And as far as banning me 12 times, well, let's just let bygones be bygones.
Why not?
Many were the hours that he helped you while away at the phone booth there waiting for an ambulance,
sure.
Right?
Many hours of otherwise idle time spent dialing quickly. You know, I have a form of arthritis in my dialing finger, thanks to you. But anyway, you're going far. I'm not worried about you. None of us are. But again, thanks a lot.
Did you know Lionel is no longer able to buy automobile insurance?
No, why's that?
He had so many wrecks racing to the scene of wrecks.
Is that true, Lionel?
Yeah, these are true statements.
Well, I will admit to the fact that I did have about 12 gross of cervical collars made with my initial please return to the officer.
But I'll also admit that you made about 12 gross calls, too.
Well, I have. We've had our moments. I mean,
Those who don't know, and I'm sure most regular listeners do, this is Lionel, who is, when he had those callers with the initials and the please return message, returned to his law firm. It was addressed to Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Oh, yes, yes.
One of the old, old legal jokes.
Funny. Even jocose, even at the point of being sad. But listen, Dave, Suerte, Godspeed, and may the force be with you.
Take care, Lionel.
Bye, Dorothy.
See you later.
Henry in Plant City. Hi, Henry. You're on the air at WFLA. Oh, no. Henry is the newest member of the Dog Meat Club. Mike in Lutz. Hi, Mike.
Why have you gone from Subhuman Pig Club to Dog Meat Club?
I don't know.
Hello,
don't know.
Derwood. Hey, listen, I have
Freeler
a...
Freeler here, my boy.
I know. I have a comment to make. Yesterday, Bob's program was on ethics. And I remember when Bob was having a problem over at the WPLP with people... calling one of his commercial advertisers, or he was advertising...
Longshoreman Restaurant, right.
Restaurant, right. And I know you and Bob don't get along politically on a lot of things. And someone called and started talking about how they should call and protest this restaurant and tell this restaurant they weren't going to do business with it.
Yeah.
And you made a comment that I thought was one of the most ethical statements. You said, I may not agree with anything Lassiter has to say, but today... You drive Lassiter off of the station.
I quit.
You made that statement.
Yeah, I know I did. That's two times that I made that statement about Lassiter.
But you made that public...
I said, if by your boycotting one of his former commercial clients, you cause him to lose his job, I quit the same day.
And for me, that was...
I meant that.
Well, I know you did. And I'll tell you something else. That's one of the reasons, as a listener to talk radio and radio, whenever you advertise a restaurant... or something I could use, I believed you. And integrity is one of the things that Bob was talking about, but it's one of the things that comes across in your voice. You are a sincere individual.
Well, that's something else I already missed, and it's only been 2 days, but I really miss doing those live commercials for products and services in which I believed. I enjoyed doing those commercials. Most broadcasters don't like to do commercials. I love doing commercials.
And I'd like to tell you my favorite program that you've had.
Okay.
And I was embarrassed at first.
All right.
And that was when Fred Travellino was supposed to show up and got lost.
Yeah.
And you ripped him.
I sure did.
I mean, for a half hour.
I sure did.
And he shows up.
You got it.
And it was the funniest interview I have ever heard.
Well, all you heard from me was gasping. I couldn't talk. The man is so funny. He's one of the great impressionists of our time, Fred Travellino.
And there's one other thing.
Yeah.
You changed my life in one little aspect. You have a story about a bad waitress.
Yeah, I sure do.
And that's happened to everybody.
Yes.
And so many times we take out our frustrations on other people.
Yes, we do.
And I think it's time, one thing for you to look at, too, no matter what kind of pain you're feeling, think of that waitress, because there's a lot of people out there in a hell of a lot worse shape than you.
Oh, I know that. I don't need any lectures. I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of that.
But I just want to tell you how much I've enjoyed your program. You're going to hear this more often. But the key to you, I think...
Oh, there will be a few more along the lines this afternoon. There will be a few more who want to kick me while I'm down.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. I understand. I made a lot of people despise me. I let them get in their shots now, cheap as they may be. I'll take them.
Well, again, I just want to tell you about your ethics. I think that you're one of the few people that have them. Thank you.
Well, I got them.
Bye.
Thank you, Mike. One line available. It's in Hillsborough County, 990-9352. 990-WFLA. When there are lines open in Pinellas, the number, 461-9352, 461-WFLA. My guest in the studio, David Fowler, late of WPLP, which, by the way, rumor has it won't be WPLP much longer. They're applying for new call letters. I can't begin to imagine why. Can you?
What do you mean?
Well, why they would want to, you know, take away those great call letters.
Oh, they may well look upon the call letters WPLP as somewhat akin to the albatross around the Ancient Mariner's neck.
Are you sorry you worked there?
Am I sorry I worked there?
Yeah.
No, why would I be sorry
I don't know.
There?
I'm just asking whether or not the whole process was so painful, you just assumed that it had never happened. Because there were a lot of...
Lassiter.
After the hour of 1 o'clock, Friday, March the 4th, 1988. Snowman, don't forget to turn over the tape there. We'll wait. Okay, tape is turned over. Back to the phones we go. We be myself, Mad Dog Bob Lassiter, my guest in studio, the king of talk radio, my good friend David Fowler.
Yeah, I have become in the Tampa Bay area. At long last, I have achieved the status in the Tampa Bay area of truly being what is known in this business as a broadcast legend. That's anybody who ain't working, right, man? If you're in broadcasting and you get fired and you're out of work, then they suddenly say, "My God, the man's a broadcast legend. What's he doing now?" Nothing.
Shirley in Dunedin. Hi, Shirley. You're on the air at WFLA.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you for giving us, all of us, the opportunity to say our own temporary goodbyes to David. I had the... Is David on?
Yeah, he's on.
Yeah, I'm right
okay.
here.
Okay. I had the unfortunate distinction of being your very last caller on Wednesday. I spoke to you on Wednesday, the very last one, and it was right after I finished when you said, "I'm David Fowler and I'm gone." And what I wanted to say is you used to make my day. I would not leave my house until after 12:30. I never wanted to miss one word of your program. And I want to say that in spite of how bad things look, I sincerely believe that everything that happens, happens for the best.
Yeah, so do I.
And with your talent, especially in the storytelling area, I cannot see you just disappearing into the humble hut and remaining there. I really cannot. And I'll be looking forward to hearing all sorts of good things about you.
Thank you, Shirley.
Okay, and thank you again, Bob. And by the way, since that happened, I listened on yesterday to hear if your ex-station was going to have the guts to be honest about what had happened. And all I got was a whitewash. And since then, FLA has been getting my listening ear. So I wanted to say this, and the very best of luck to you.
Thank you, Shirley.
And I'm
Thank
really
you,
not worried about you, because you are a talent in many areas.
Shirley,
really
I appreciate it, even though I find
you.
Your accent reprehensible.
Thank you, Shirley. Take care. One line available in Pinellas, 461-9352.
Goes a long way, doesn't it?
461-WFLA. Sam in Venice. Hi, Sam. You're on the air, WFLA.
Yes. Hello, Bob. Hello, David.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I don't call very often because I'm really cheap, and I don't spend money on long-distance phone calls to either one of you, though I listen to both. The one thing I wanted to say is I went through the same thing that David is going through now last May, at the end of May, and I decided to open my own business. I'm in my own business now, but some things were really going bad the first week I was in business, around the end of July, and I had David on the radio, and he made me laugh, and it seemed like things turned around after that, for that week anyway, and it helped get me through it. He was talking about something in the Sharper Image catalog. I don't know if you remember that, David.
Sure.
And but it was just... And, you know, ever since then, it's just been a constant thing. I listen to you, and unless there's somebody on there like the last lady with an accent I can't take, and then I turn it down. But then I always listen to Laster in the afternoon. The programming change I'd like to see, I'd like to see Uncle Dickie move up to for the 4 o'clock slot, put David in at 9, and put Ted on from 7 till 10 doing sports.
Tremendous lineup.
That would wipe
out. I'll tell you what, that would wipe out the market.
Would you understand, David, if I said I'd rather see you on another station in this market than
why,
one?
Why, sure I would. Of course I would.
Do you know why?
Why, certainly you'd want me on another station, as I was until Wednesday, because the more listeners I attract, the bigger the talk audience becomes.
And also, the harder I work.
Well, you'd have to work harder if I was on directly opposite you. You wouldn't be dragging in them big nines.
I don't understand.
Well, if I were on opposite
you. Don't understand
you,
why they didn't put you up against
me. Tell you what, the ratings, it had nothing to do with me. I was champing at the bit to go up against you, and I'll tell you what would have happened. Do you want to know?
What, David?
Within one ratings book, I'd have had probably around a 6. You'd have had probably around an 8.
Probably.
In one book.
Or swap back and forth that way. I think we would have probably brought up the market to at least a 15 share going head to head.
Yeah, I think so too.
But guys, consider us poor listeners. I mean, we got 2 ears, but we can't listen to both of you at the same time.
Well, you'd be listening to me, so it really is a moot point.
Well, I listened to David first.
Well, no, actually, what would have happened is I would have opened up a little booth selling Walkmans that, you know, where the headphones were split, FLA on one side, the other station on the other.
Yeah, but then you'd have a bunch of brain-damaged snowbirds walking around in circles because they can't figure out which side the sound's coming from.
We already do.
Yes, that's true. Thank you, gentlemen. Good luck, David.
And, thank you.
All the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Sam.
Bye-bye.
Let us go to Gene in a car phone somewhere in Hillsborough County. Hi, Gene. You're on the air at WFLA.
Trash Man.
Hey.
I've been listening to you for a couple of years. Want to get a little serious here.
You want to get serious?
Yes, I want to get serious.
Okay.
Get serious, Gene.
I even converted my wife, an avid country music listener, to listen to you during the day. I would always smile when I would hear you talk about your wife and beautiful wife down on the beach. And about 14 months ago, unfortunately, my wife came down with cancer. And one thing that really helped me through it was being able to get in my truck, turn on my radio and listen to you in the morning and then listen to Bob in the afternoon. And unfortunately, 4 weeks ago, she died. But people would always ask me how I get through it. And I just want to say thank you to you and to Bob for helping me through this time.
Well, that for me at least has to be the highest compliment I've ever been paid on radio.
It's
likewise.
I'm able to get in my truck, and even though I'm bitter, and I'm able to put it out of my mind for the time I'm in my truck from 9 to 12 and then from 12 to 4. And I just want to say thanks before you go on to bigger and better things.
Well, you have you really have my sympathy, because if there's anything in this life on this earth I dread, it is that happening to me.
Well,
I really pray. I'm sorry to use the word pray on your program, Bob. I really pray I go first.
Well,
she is considerably younger than I am. She will still have a life. I told her this one time, and she said something I'll never forget. We got into one of these husband and wife discussions about who would die first. And I said, I pray I do, even though it will cause you grief, I pray I do, because I know I would not be able to withstand losing you. And she said, well, that's very disappointing to me. And I said, why? And she said, because I would have hoped that knowing me and loving me and being with me these years had made you a better person, even more easily able to cope with loss and tragedy, not less so. Can you imagine someone saying that to you?
Well, we had those same conversations, and I had always hoped that she would go first, but unfortunately she didn't. I can remember one call I remember you having, I think, back towards, I think your last call, either before Christmas break or New Year's, you were talking to a gentleman about your wives and that glow in your wife's face that attracted you to her.
Yeah.
And my wife had that glow, too. In fact, David, I was with her when she took her last breath, and she had that glow in her face until her last breath. And, again, I'm getting choked up. I don't want to take up too much time. I just want to say thanks. You've helped me more than you'll ever know, and I really don't know if I could have gotten through it without talk radio, I can't listen to regular radio. Songs come on.
Oh, I know.
Think of her.
Oh, yes,
and
I know.
I listen to talk, and now I don't have you in the morning, so I switched over to Dickie, but thank God I still got Bob. But, again, I just want to say thanks to both of you very much.
Thank you, sir.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Gives you goosebumps. Makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That happens. I'll tell you, Bob, it's one thing that bothers me about you is that you're so damn mean so much of the time. I think too mean much of the time. But even with your meanness, it is surprising how much you, how much I, how much actually all of us who are or were, as the case may be, in call-in radio, how much we really become the only company some people have. We're it. We become, for so many people, almost the best friend. That's a fact.
Are we being Bob Lasseter and my guest in studio, David Fowler. Rosemary in Sarasota. Hi, Rosemary. You're on the air at WFLA. Rosemary once. Rosemary twice. Ah, Rosemary never, ever again. Hank in Dunedin. Hank, you're on the air, I hope.
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, there you are.
I'm here. Listen, Bob, I want to thank you. I'm a friend of David's. I've known him well. I've listened since he came on the air here. He has done business for me. He is without a doubt the finest salesman that any individual could have representing his company. He also does believe in the products. He checks on what he represents, and he's a neat guy. And David, I'm shocked. I got off the boat yesterday and heard on FLA that you had been let go, and without a doubt the biggest mistake that any radio station has ever made. And I would hope that since I don't have your new number, that you give me a call when you get an opportunity. Will you do that?
Hank Fox?
Yeah,
sure I will.
Good. Thanks, partner, because I got off the boat yesterday and flipped.
I thought you fell off the truck about a week ago.
Pardon?
Nothing, Hank.
No. You know me. I'm damn gullible with you. I believe everything the man says, Bob. He and my wife get going. We've been together, and I'm stunned. After about an hour, I'm so confused between the two of them, I don't know whether I'm coming or going.
Well, I've been a guest many times in David's house, and I have never left there anything but exhausted.
Exactly. Especially the beer and tomato juice routines are wonderful. But would you give me a call, dude?
Well, I consider that social lubricant, Hank.
We all have our various ones.
Well, you certainly do.
I remember. I tell you what, I remember you imbibing on off of Ann Claude Key one summer afternoon with Ray and your boy. And without a doubt, one of the most gorgeous skies I've ever seen in Florida. And Bob, David was waxing philosophical. And waxing philosophic, is that more correct? And really
babbling, sir, babbling on.
That's right. I really enjoyed his company. And David, I'll miss you. And give me a call, will you, partner?
Yeah, I will, Hank. Thank you.
Okay, buddy.
Take care. One line open. It's in Pinellas, 461-9352. Michael in a payphone in Largo. Hi, Michael in a payphone.
I just wonder, David, did the local newspaper have anything to do with it at all, do you think?
No.
And also, how about putting a name on some of these faceless eunuchs that control the programming? I mean, this new nerd that has infested our area. I mean, do they have names or anything like that? I mean, so in case you're introduced to them at a social function or something like that, you can spit on their shoes?
Let me tell you something about when you say a local paper, you're referring to the St. Petersburg Times. And I had an on and off vendetta for the Times. But the fact of the matter is this, that the Times is not overly concerned with one radio guy doing a call-in conversation program, not when their Sunday paper has a circulation of some 480,000. They're really not too concerned with a little radio guy like me. Number two, the story the Times did yesterday on my being fired was as complimentary to me as it could have been. It was a great piece of reporting in my mind because it was so flattering.
Well, yeah,
they
sort of mentioned the Contaminome situation, and that's what prompted my question.
I only brought that up to the reporter with whom I did the interview after being fired. My referring to the Suncoast Florida Dome as the Contamidome for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I only brought that up as one little example of being controversial, of making some people in power mad. And that is what the new ownership at my former place of employment does not want.
Well, you know, I did ask that question because I know that the Times has carried the torch of that stadium, empty as though it may be, and costing $235 million instead of $85.
Yeah, that's right, but keep in mind, it was also the Times that first reported on the toxic contamination, and they have continued to report. So you can't fault the Times on that.
Well, now, but the contamination was known at least 3 months before it ever came out in the newspaper. They were ahead. In fact, anybody that has done any site prep work of the scope and size of the stadium situation would have known to have done soil tests in an area like that long before, and soil tests were done. And they knew that there was going to be a problem before they ever started construction on that thing down there, because that was the site of the gas plant. There had been reports of those chemicals down there long before the purchase was even made. So this whole deal about the Times just reported, the Times reported it way after the fact, only when the EPA got involved. So, you know, that old jazz of them being conscientious reporters is hooey.
You may be right. I can't comment. I don't know.
Total hooey. So I just wondered, you know, do the people over there have names? I mean, who's the new GM or whatever at that joint, in case, you know, you're at a spot or whatever?
His name is Gordy. That's all you need to know.
Gordy?
It's either Obarski, Oberdorf, or Abramowitz. We're not really sure, but his first name is Gordy. That's what he likes everybody to call him.
And are they all eunuchs?
Well, I can only...
Is that a prerequisite?
Let me comment on that. I can only say this because it's true, that even though he was taking over as the new general manager under the company for which he labors as a vice president, Susquehanna Broadcasting, on Thursday, when I was fired on Wednesday, he was not there to do the job. He had someone else do it. In fact, he had an employee of Gannett, the former owner, fire me. He didn't have whatever it takes to fire me face-to-face.
Well, I mean,
I can't forget that.
Isn't that a yellow-bellied, lily-livered sapsucker routine, if you've ever heard it, or what?
Well, it's just a decision that you have to make for yourself, Michael.
Yeah, bye.
Be good.
Okay.
Bye, Michael.
Coming up on 29 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, my guest in studio, David Fowler. The conversation will continue.
From your husband. What does your husband do? What does that fool do? Isn't he in television? What does he do?
No, he doesn't.
What does
right
he
Right now,
do?
He's a troubleshooter for Gulf Life Insurance.
Oh, that's even lower.
Yes, he's in the West Palm Beach area now.
Oh, he's not in town today?
No, he's getting rid of a thief they discovered in the office.
Yeah, that's actually, I might as well go ahead and tell the truth. That's why I was fired from WPLP.
You were in the till again.
They caught me stealing.
I know it. And you've had so many
things. What I was in the midst of stealing was simply the highest rating they'd ever had in that time slot. I stole it, you see. And they caught me, so they fired me. They said his ratings are too high. Fire him.
Well, I have my thanks.
You're right, I am mad. What?
I have my thanks. I want to compliment you on the physical stamina that you must have to put a jacket on over those sharp instrument wounds in your back. You're
no,
doing
no
it again.
Comment.
You're
no
pausing.
Comment there, Mims.
I want to hear you do a...
I'll come up with one. Hold on.
But, okay.
Not right now.
Oh, all right. I have my thanks to give you, too, because I think above anyone else in the Tampa area, you made my name, a household nerd.
Yeah, I think regular listeners to these programs are well familiar with the name Peg Mims.
They would be.
That doesn't mean that there's any admiration, love, respect, or even a basic sense of like for your name. They just are aware of it, is all.
But you didn't say would-be talk show host. And after all, Susquehanna, I thought you would like to know, Susquehanna has contacted me. We're going to do exciting shopping sprees in downtown Lutz featuring Carolyn Dundas and Peg Mims. Now, doesn't that really grab you?
Yeah, it really does, Ms. Mims.
You don't believe me.
No, I do believe you. That sounds like the kind of programming they say they want.
That's right, and then we're going to go on to the cooking show.
Yeah, I can see you and Carolyn on a shopping spree on radio in downtown Lutz, doing comparison shopping for...
I'm telling you...
Female laxatives, right.
We would... I hope we're opposite Bob Lassiter. I mean, we just wipe him
off.
Out, wouldn't we? Well, I mean, they would keep
you
sitting there.
This will go on
talk about
forever.
Making strange noises. He'd just be drumming his fingernails and gritting his teeth. And then we're going to do Reinventing the Lowly Burger, 5,000 Ways to Cook Hamburger.
Peg, you're too close
you
to the, you're too close to the truth for me to smile.
Oh, well, why don't you practice saying, welcome, welcome to my world. Let's have you on at nighttime. Let's have the whole 24-hour-a-day talk show.
You're right about that, Bob.
What do you mean, boring?
Get her off, Lee.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Peg.
Ray in Plant City. Hi, Ray. You're on the air at WFLA.
Hello, Bob.
Hi.
And good afternoon, O Bogwan of Bob Radio.
Yes, my son.
How are you?
Fine.
I can understand. I shouldn't ask that question. I just wanted to tell you, Dave, that I had never listened to talk radio until about 2 years ago, and a guy I worked with told me, hey, you've got to listen to this guy. He's something else. And I did, and I was impressed, and I've been listening to you, and after listening to you, I was listening to Bob. And
God, I was afraid he was talking about Tim Coles that led us to led him to us. Oh, damn.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Tim. But I just wanted to say, Dave, you're an interesting guy to me. I know there are a lot of people who won't say that to you, but I want you to put out your cassette of stories.
Believe it or not, I'm thinking seriously about that.
Yeah. I want you to do that because I've never heard the banana suit story.
Well, stay tuned because I will advertise it here.
You are?
I will if I do it.
Oh, okay.
If I get around to taping all the stories on a cassette to offer you by mail for $10, I will advertise it here on WFLA.
That's great. I'll buy it. I have no problem with
okay.
And, Dave, I'm sorry to see you're not on the radio anymore, but I hope you get work around here somewhere. Because I really like listening to you.
Thank you.
And hope to be talking to you again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Take care, Ray. Let's go to Alex in Sarasota. Hi, Alex. You're on the air at WFLA. Alex is another new member of the club. Two new members today. Pat in St. Petersburg. Hi, Pat. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, Bob.
Afternoon, sir.
How are you? I'd like to speak to Dave.
You are, Ed.
David, it's my understanding that in the years past when you were in West Virginia, you were in the glass business.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Well, let me tell you, my friend, I've enjoyed you for 2.5 years. I have a thriving glass business in St. Petersburg, and I'd love to have you come join us.
I guess now we know the truth of my career.
Wait a second. You used to work in the glass business,
no,
David?
No, I used to own a glass company.
I used to work in the glass business. I had this uncle with a Hudson.
What did you say? Pay no attention to Lassiter. What did you say?
I said, well, both of you come on over. We're always looking for good people.
I can see Lassiter in a glass shop.
Well, I worked in a glass shop, and I had this uncle with a Hudson.
I don't want to hear it.
We put one of those smoke bombs under his hood. Brand new Hudson. It was terrible.
Right. That's one of my stories that I've told about the glass shop and my uncle and his brand new Studebaker, and I put one of those car bombs under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds just like my story.
Yeah, I know. And when he started, he was so proud of that car. And he hadn't owned the car for an hour. When he brought it into the shop, he went into the office. I slipped the car bomb under the hood. He came back out, and we all said, start it up. We want to hear how it runs. And he did. The car bomb went off, and that hood on that Studebaker was about 2 inches above the engine. And the car bomb blew a little convexity right in the center of the hood. In other words, put a hump in it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like it, Pat. Yeah, I did everything in glass. You name it, and I can do glass.
Well, astonishing that the story's so close to mine.
But, David, if you decide you want to leave the radio and go to work in an ethical industry, you like that word?
You got health insurance?
Yes, sir.
You do?
Profit sharing, pension plans, and bonuses.
Your name's Pat, and you're in downtown St. Pete.
Yes, sir.
I have the dread feeling, Pat, I may be trying to find you.
Number one in the Yellow Pages for St. Pete. I won't mention the name, but it is the first
name. Ah, go ahead,
yeah,
Pat.
Give it a plug,
City Glass and Mirror.
Was that right. City Glass and Mirror in downtown St. Petersburg?
Yes, sir.
And people should ask for Pat.
You bet.
Okay, Pat.
Okay.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Alex is back in Sarasota. Hello, Alex. You're on the air at WFLA eventually.
Hello, Mr. Lassiter.
Hello, Alex.
I'm sorry I kind of hung up because I've been on the phone for half an hour waiting.
I understand.
All right. Delbert.
Yo.
Yo. This is Alex with Buddy the Greyhound from Sarasota.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Having been in the broadcast business for about 6 years, which is minuscule compared to you fellas,
but longer than that,
I too ran into a situation where some hotshot came out of town, bought the business, and figured, let's change things. I don't understand. If it ain't broke, why do you fix it?
That's part of the psychology of radio to a greater degree. I've seen it happen a number of times.
It happens all the time, and it really cracks me up. I mean, it ruins the marketplace.
It is difficult to understand when WPLP's ratings were finally beginning an upward spiral that they decide to change the whole thing from top to bottom. No, I don't understand it. I just have experienced it before. I'll never understand it.
You know, and coming back to FLA, now, I listen to you in the morning. I listen to Mr. Lassiter in the afternoon. Prior to the change around on FLA, they had a tremendously popular sports show with a Mr. Webb.
Webb.
In the early evening.
Name rings a bell.
Yeah.
Webb.
Yeah.
Fred
Webb. And
Webb.
It was very popular. They changed that gentleman out of his expertise into a talk show host and completely ruined that time segment as far as I'm concerned. This is just one caller's estimation, okay? And I have some notes here that I was going to discuss, and I wrote down the name Lionel, and he never didn't fail me. He called you, Mr. Fowler, and I was really impressed.
Well, I'm glad he did. He was always even as mad as I used to get at Lionel from time to time. I mean, seething with anger at Lionel.
Lionel
sometimes
is so erudite.
I banned him from the program I don't know how many times, but I would always allow him back on because when he made a good call, it was among the very best calls. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You made a comment back some 15 to 20 minutes ago about having a little difficulty with this, but the gentleman who called about his wife passing away from cancer.
Yes.
You and the type of work you do and Mr. Lassiter does, you pointed it out that you are, in some sense, friends of people who just probably have no friends. And I felt very, very touched by that gentleman's call.
Are you lonely?
No, I'm not lonely. I'm fine. I have a family and everything. You know, no problem. I was just touched by that man's gentle call and your response to it.
Well, I was very touched by the call, too.
Well, I want to compliment
you. More than you would know.
Well, I can understand that, for sure.
Do you know that when I got home Wednesday after being fired and sat down at the picnic table under a nice bright blue sky, warm sunshine, my young and lovely wife was sitting there waiting for me, and I sat down. We chatted for a minute or two.
Yep.
And she said, anything new? And I said, yeah, I just got fired. And we talked about... See, she'd been through this with me before.
Sure.
And we talked a few minutes about it, even though there was nothing to say. It was fait accompli.
That's right. Fact is fact.
Well, Bob didn't know what that means. I'm glad you... Yeah, a fait accompli. Bob is very clumsy with foreign terms, unless they involve bestiality. But... As we sat there chatting, and I just told her I'd been fired, there was a lull in the conversation, and she looked at me, and tears filled her eyes, and she said...
What are your friends going to do?
She said, let me tell you something, and I said, what? And she said, you don't know because I've never told you. She said, how proud I am of you, and the way you are, and the way you stand by what you believe to be right. She said, I can't really tell you how proud I am of you. And this was within 15 minutes after she had learned that I was out of work and we were in trouble.
Yep. I that's a wonderful statement. It's wonderful.
Well, I certainly won't
Mr.
ever
Fowler,
forget.
Mr. Fowler, Mr. Delbert Freeler.
Freeler, here, my boy.
And Mr. Lassiter. You in the morning and Lassiter in the afternoon, and as far as I'm concerned, Webb back on sports at night, bang, you got a station that will really cook. And people will just listen to their listeners. Gee, I don't understand why they don't do it.
Thank you, Alex. Take care, my friend.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you for calling back. One line available in Hillsboro, 990-9352. 990-WFLA. 146 the time. Back to the phones we go. Ernie in Oldsmar. Hi, Ernie. You're on the air, WFLA. Ernie once. Ernie twice. Ernie never, ever, ever again. Oh, shame on you, Ernie. Good. Give me a break. One line open in Hillsboro, 990-9352. John in Tampa. Hi, John. You're on the air, WFLA. Ah, John bit the dust, too, I swear. People just don't have the staying power they used to. That opens up another line in Hillsboro. Off to James in St. Petersburg. James, you're on the air, WFLA.
Hello, Bob. Hello, David.
Hi, James.
Hey, David, my friend. This is a temporary state of affairs. We said in the 60s, what goes around comes around.
Well, I still say that.
And, sir, your karma is good. And good things are going to happen for you.
Wait a minute. This isn't James Upshaw from Freehouse.
Yes, sir, my friend.
I didn't recognize the voice either. Hi there, James.
Hi, my friends. Both of you guys have done so much for the homeless and the people that are disenfranchised in our society. And you, David, personally for Freehouse, crisis after crisis, through your advertising of our effort, you know you've kept us afloat.
Hey, I know this, and I can't help but say it. I remember when you were in desperate trouble a year or more ago, and you were on the... You were on the program with me in the studio. We talked about Freehouse, but we didn't solicit any donations for Freehouse. But right at the end of that hour, I went ahead and took, maybe a minute to ask those who were listening to help you out. And within 3 days, I raised $8,000.
Well, you've raised a lot more than that.
You talk about the power of radio when it's done right.
Well, what you've done for this community on behalf of those folks that are hurting and for our particular effort, we're forever grateful, David.
Well, I did a lot of shooting off of my mouth during those nearly 3.5 years of that program, James, because I received so many calls from so many men who had just been fired, and they were desperate, and I told them how to cope with it.
Exactly.
Gave them all the good-hearted and well-meaning instructions on how to deal with being fired as I was able. Now I'm having to put my money where my mouth is.
Well, you're going to be all right, sir. It's just going to come your way. You and Bob, you are the guys in this town that don't come from the stereotyped point of view about this and look with sensitivity and mindfulness into the problems and feel people's situations. I know there are other folks, but Moses wanted to say a couple words to you, David.
All right.
Just a moment. Dave?
Hello, Moses.
I'd just like to say peace, brother.
Peace to you, bro.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks very much, and our prayers are with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Gentlemen, take care. One line open in Pinellas, 461-9352, 461-WFLA. Bill in St. Petersburg. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
Hi, David.
Hello, Bill.
Haven't called you a lot, but I've been listening to you for a long time. And I'm sorry I can't offer you a job. I don't have any jobs to offer. I just got one of my own. But I've really, really enjoyed listening to you over the years. Your stories are better every time I hear them. And you've got a lot of friends.
You know, that's one of the incredible things with you, Fowler, and I'm glad you brought that up, Bill. Your stories do get better. I don't get tired of them.
No,
and I mean that sincerely, and I've heard them on and off the air.
Are you going to buy a cassette tape of Dave's Big Boy Stories, Robert?
If you'll promise me the first one, yeah, I will.
I'll buy one of those.
Okay,
two.
All right.
It's not the stories, it's the teller. It's the delivery.
Oh, sure, that's
right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's never what you do, it's how you do it.
Yeah.
Always.
But,
particularly in this business.
I just wanted to say thanks.
Okay.
I've appreciated it, and I like Laster in spite of himself.
I agree with that.
And I love it. I love the way you're slapping him around there. It's good. Do some more of that, too.
I'm not slapping Bob around at all. I simply personally consider him to be a vicious and a vicious, scurrilous, very mean man who seemingly can't open his mouth without being obscene. And I don't believe in that.
Oh, grief.
Well, he's got his finger on the button, but you got your finger on the point. And you do it real well, and I'll tell you,
when you said he's got his finger on the button, I can't calm down because I'm used to being behind a microphone where I run the show and have control. I have none here.
Well, there is one thing that's going on. It really is too bad that you guys can't hear everything that goes on. Every now and then I close the microphone, and there is just this crescendo of from both Fowler and I as you guys are just talking on, having no idea what kind of terrible noises are being made, and we can't even hear you.
I'll tell you, I'm so uneasy. I really am uptight here this afternoon on this program. I'm losing my voice. You know how the vocal cords start to compact when you get nervous?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually losing it.
Well, they brought all that tape over there at PLP. We can't disappoint
That's
them.
True. That's why I'll write it out.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, you're doing great, Dave. I appreciate it. And wherever you end up, you'll be a breath of fresh air there.
Keep up the good work.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. You want to clear our throats?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Broadcast legend.
Dave,
well, someday, Fowler. Someday you'll make it.
I got a chance to listen to you once in a while, but I couldn't get that signal too well over here in Tampa, so
Well, now it doesn't make any difference, Gene.
No, it doesn't make any difference. You're right. But, David, I told Bob, and I'll tell you, I run a resume job search business. You probably don't need much help, but if you do, and Mike Hennessy and the boys, you got it, I'm going to give you a good deal.
Didn't you talk with Bob yesterday?
Yeah.
Does Bob allow people to call in two times in a week? Is he that desperate for calls?
Oh, yeah, I'm not desperate.
Not desperate, but good calls.
I like the fake Mims on today. That's all.
No,
and Lionel.
I can tell you Bob's not desperate for
probably
calls.
Probably even put Carolyn on.
Bob is not desperate for calls today. His producer ran in during the commercial break and handed me a note saying, Dave, you've already received more calls today than Bob had last week.
Well,
cool it.
He likes quality calls. That's why I'm on again.
Yeah, these one-shot deals always generate a lot of calls. If I were to come in here tomorrow, we couldn't beg a call.
I think it's time to organize, gentlemen. I think we need to stand up to these merciless radio station owners, mass media owners, and we got to form the Council of Radio Announcing Professionals. Crap. We need to get that going. Bob, remember a while back I suggested you start a talk show host school? Remember the old Columbia Broadcasting School where you guys could teach students how to use four-letter words and stay in the FCC regs, how to get yourself revved up, you know, certain techniques you can use. And so,
yes, I have considered it.
What do you think of that? We could get a retirement home for retired talk show hosts. You know,
to the best of my knowledge, there's only
rock and roll people.
But to the best of my knowledge, there's only one guy in town that wants to do it. His name's Kevin, and I don't think he can be taught.
Well, that was cruel.
You could be the first executive director for CRAP, Council of Radio Announcing Professionals, David.
Well,
what do you think of that?
David, we'll take it into consideration. Thank you, Gene. Let us go to Stacy in St. Petersburg. Hi, Stacy. You're on the air, WFLA.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
David?
Hi.
Hi, this is Stacy the Night Owl.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi. Too many times in my life I've let times go by when I didn't say something to somebody that I really wanted to say. And I just wanted to call you up. I've been dialing for over an hour. I could do this number so fast now, it's unbelievable. But I wanted to tell you that I really admired you, and it was a privilege to produce your Saturday shows back when I was doing that. And I think you're a really hip guy. I think we'd have a lot to talk about if we ever got together or anything, but I'm sorry that you're leaving so soon before I really got to be friends with you.
Okay, let me do you the greatest favor you've been done lately, all right?
Okay, what's that?
Say goodbye.
Goodbye, David.
Okay, bye. I don't think she understood what I meant. But
one line open in each county, 990-9352-461-9352
Living
Pinellas. Off to Steve in Tampa it is. Hi, Steve. You're on the air at WFLA. Hello, Steve. Steve once, Steve twice. Steve has no staying power, at least that's what his wife says. Chris in Tampa, you're on the air at WFLA.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Chris.
Doing pretty good. I want to thank you both. I work in a major warehouse here in the area. I don't know if you know, but they pipe in music all the time. And after about 3 weeks, I managed to put them on the talk radio, and you'd be surprised how much everyone enjoyed it over the, you know, Q105 radio station.
Talk radio in the workplace?
In a workplace warehouse. We all would sit in, and then at lunchtime, the discussions were no longer about who scored the most points last night, but what you two guys had to be talking about in the morning or the afternoon.
Great. We once got a call over at PLP, my wife fielded it, from a woman who ran some type of psychiatric care center. And for some strange reason, they had problems putting music over the PA system because it made the patients too lethargic.
Yeah.
And they would sit there and sometimes tap their feet. So they put WPLP on. This is, of course, about 2 years ago when David and I both worked there. And they call up to complain, saying that, you know, it was just too much. It was, you know, making the patients restless, and could we please tone it down and maybe at least sometimes play some music so at least they would go back and just tap their feet again.
Look at this. Just one other point I wanted to bring up. You wondered why sometimes companies change their plan sometimes when everything starts to look real good and profits start to go real high and all that. There's a reason why. In the world of business and profit and loss, sometimes loss is profit.
Well, PLP never made any money.
Right, and I don't think it ever was meant to. There are some companies that are owned by, they're just subsidies, and it pays for them to be a loss for them.
Well, that's not the case with Guy Gannett, at least when they were the owners of WPLP. They wanted to make money. They were very unhappy that they weren't. But like an awful lot of businesses, they took the exact wrong tack when things started to get a little bit tight.
Right.
Instead of coming up with more money, they came up with less. And by the time that station was transferred yesterday, their budget was virtually nothing. It's frankly amazing that they stayed on the air. The only reason they did stay on the air with any degree of professionality is because of the dedication of the people that worked there. They were not always the best people in broadcasting, but it would be very difficult to find a more dedicated group of people.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I have to agree. I want to thank you both. And I think they're right. Yeah, let's switch Ted back to doing sports at night.
Well, we'll pass it along.
Thanks.
Probably means I'll put him on in the morning doing cooking tips. They thought people wanted him doing sports. One line open.
What do you want to do? You want me to stick around for the other hour? How many do you
do? Sure.
Four here, don't
yeah.
you?
What do you mean, do I want you to stick around? I never want you to leave.
Well, I'll stick around for one reason. You
and
know what it is, don't you? I need to ride home. Right?
You and I had always fantasized about doing two-man talk. Did we not?
Fantasized about a lot of things, but never that.